Now, if you're only a one person, no dependents, then you're disqualified. Simply, there's no deductions, right? Everything I'm saying that's referring to the regulation is if you're more than one person in your family. If you're solo and you're convicted of an offense under the act, then you're disqualified for 12 months for the first time, 24 months for the second time, and for life for the third time. And it's like before, you don't have to be disqualified. These months don't have to be consecutive. So you can be disqualified for 24 months at different times. And then it'll take you a lifetime to get rid of that disqualification.
Roxanne, can you get legal aid if you're...
For this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, legal aid, the test for legal aid is still that you need to be have a likelihood of jail. And...
So the answer is no.
You know, it would depend if you have a lot of... If you have some fraud stuff on your record... If you have a criminal record and you have some fraud convictions or things like that, probably you can get coverage for a criminal code charge. For an offense under the act, I don't think you'll get legal aid to do it. Because it's unlikely they're going to send you to jail, right?
So most people won't be eligible for VOID?
I think so, yeah. Unless, you know, you have a serious record of fraud before. I think that's right. You probably won't be eligible for a lawyer for this.
What if you have a bunch of criminal offenses that are not related to fraud, and that the next time you do something, they bring up the rest of your stuff and say you've been on probation for 5 months, we told you not to do anything else again, you've done something, and they bring all of that back up. Would that make a difference?
Yeah. You know, anytime you're charged with something and you're on probation, it's aggravating, right? Or if you're on bail, or if you're on probation and you're charged with something new, it's aggravating, and the Crown might seek some jail. I'd be surprised, though, unless you're charged criminally under the criminal code, I'd be really surprised if...
So what's the difference? How does the provincial offense affect your record?
It's going to be entered as a conviction on your record. It's going to be like a driving offense, if you will, like driving while prohibited. That's a provincial Motor Vehicle Act offense, but it's entered on your record because it counts as an offense. Now the last thing I think that I will say is there's the under subsection 15(3). In a way, that's the best thing and the worst thing that can happen to you. You go into the ministry and you sign an acknowledgement. That's the mildest sanction that's going to apply to you. On the other hand, you know, like you see really goofy things at the ministry. Somebody's going to say, oh, but you told me that, well, I saw that yesterday. I was talking to an advocate, and the ministry was alleging fraud because the person said I was in Ontario and I moved here. And the ministry said, oh, you naughty, naughty boy, you stopped over 3 days in Winnipeg and you didn't tell us. You're not from Ontario. And the guy like, well, yeah, I'm from Ontario. I've been there all my life. I was 3 days in Winnipeg for a visit on my way over here. But, oh, that's fraud. And it's like, no, I just didn't think of telling you I was visiting my daughter. But so, you know, you have those goofy situations that a criminal court would say, like, to the ministry, or to the Crown, oh, please, like, this man has a reasonable explanation, get out of my court. Now, the ministry, if they pressure that person into signing an acknowledgement, well, sure, it's great, it's not a criminal code conviction or an offense conviction, But it's still, like, this person shouldn't go sign anything because he obviously has a reasonable explanation for whatever they consider to be misleading, right? But if the person goes and signs an acknowledgement, then I guess the carrot that the ministry gives you for this is that your penalties are quite mild. So in this case, if you're a person alone that signs an acknowledgement or that gets a civil judgment against you, yourself, then you get you don't need to have dependents to be saved from the guillotine. If you're a person alone and you sign an acknowledgement, the first time you sign an acknowledgement, you get a 3-month disqualification. The second time, it's 6 months, and the third time, it's 12 months. So really, it's half the time of the others. So I think that's the carrot, I suppose, that the ministry is giving you for entering into this deal with them.
Are those penalties discretionary?
Yes, they are. That you're absolutely right. The first two scenarios that I discussed, the criminal code offenses and the offenses under the Act, those are not discretionary. That is what is going to happen to you, whether you have the nicest worker or not. I suppose if you have a really nice worker, they might cut you slack and not send it to prosecution in the first place. These ones, if you sign an acknowledgement, then the minister may impose all of this. This is the only place in the sanctions where there's some discretion. They don't need to do it.
The legislation says
repeat a question.
Yeah. Yeah, I had put in bold in my notes May, so.
Okay. 37 says that the 3-month disqualification must be discontinued.
Yes, if the ministry in the first place decides to do something with you, then it must be 3 months. But to start the process, they have the discretion to make you go through all these hoops or not. But once they decide that this is what's going to happen, then the penalty is what it is, and it's the same for everybody, and it must be 3 months. Now, if you, this same person, if the person has dependents, then you won't be disqualified, but you'll get a reduction of $100 for 3 months. And then if you have, depending on your family situation, right? And if you have a second acknowledgement, it's $100 for 6 months. And if you have a third, it's $100 for 12 months. So if you don't have dependents, you're disqualified. And these periods, the length of this qualification doesn't have to be consecutive. If you have dependents, then it's money that they're going to take away from you. They're not going to disqualify you altogether. And then those amounts are set out in the regs.
I'm just curious, and I don't know if I'm going way off here, but if you're charged with a criminal offense and you actually do jail time, say somebody ripped off the ministry $40,000, they decide to give them jail time, and then they give them the lifetime disqualification because they're a sole person, aren't they being convicted twice?
Well, I mean, they're being given a sanction. I mean, they're convicted only once of fraud, but they're being hammered twice, that's for sure.
Right. So isn't it against our criminal code that we'd be hammered twice for the same offense?
No, because I mean, I think that if the person was disqualified for life, I think that's a problem. I can't imagine. I mean, I think if you run across somebody like that, that's probably worth bringing to the attention of myself or someone else, because a lifetime disqualification, probably, there's probably charter arguments to be made about that. If you go, you serve your sentence. I mean, you know, I guess it's for like any crime. You go out, you serve a sentence for impaired driving. You, on the one hand, serve a year, on the other hand, you lose your license for 12 months. And It's sort of an administrative sanction that goes on top of it. It makes it sting a lot more, and that's something that should be brought to the attention of the criminal court, right? This isn't it for this guy or this lady. This is all the rest of the stuff that's going to happen.